Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He's the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show here on Zoom. Excited to be here. By the way, this is the all-new Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Considering the world we live in, you better get a good night's sleep. We hope you have. Let's get right to it. Tonight's lineup is packed with talent. Very funny. Start with ladies first. A very funny lady. I should say,
lady's good.
Yeah, beautiful lady. Very funny lady. Monique Marvez is with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Dougie.
Absolutely. And out of Floridian, from New York, and now living in Florida for a bit, Richie Redding. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, dude. I can't wait to get out of here. What's happening?
You look like the guy on State Farm that's wearing khakis right now.
If you're under the impression that I'm wearing pants, I will let you run with that.
Yeah? All right. Yeah. I was worried about wearing a certain shorts that are like those like thick shorts, like you just wear to bed, you know? And they got holes in them and stuff. But look, I'm glad you guys made it, man.
Yeah, oh, man.
Chill. Well, let's start. Usually we start to get to know each other a little bit. And ladies first, I met Monique in Isla Mirada, Florida.
Yes, you did.
At the Island Grill, where I started booking the room and you were the headliner and I opened for you. And we had one hell of a night.
Well, not only did we have a hell of a night, number one, you were surprisingly hilarious, because a lot of times when they say we're just going to book a local since you ate up the budget, that means that the guy in the kitchen is going to MC and tell three stupid jokes.
Yeah.
But I so enjoyed you. Like, A, you were very, very funny. And then B, we continued to hang. We went to that bar and that Jimmy Buffett sound-alike band or whatever was there. And as I recall, we were out late and I may have even had an adult beverage, which for me is like birthday and New Year's.
Now, it wasn't just you and I, so that if my wife is watching, she understands that we weren't like kicking
her. Oh, no, I've met your wife. She knows I'm no threat.
But, you know, so it was great. I can't remember the name, but it's a famous place. The Pig's, it's right in Isla Mirada right there. The Pig's Knuckle. I don't know what it's called.
I think once you say Pigs, people know, oh, it's going to be rich.
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, and there was a band playing and everything, and it was fun.
They were great.
And that place, by the way, we're going to start booking it again the first weekends of the month on a Friday and Saturday at the newly renovated original location, the Island Grill. So we should be starting those Friday and Saturday night shows. So that's two
and
nights.
It's good. Like, the food was good. Like, that was one of those nights where it was like, what? The opener's good and the food is good and the service is good and the staff knows to like kneel down and whisper and not hit a punchline. I'm in heaven.
Isn't that the worst, dude? Have you ever been in a club? You could tell that's like they're not. It's not a comedy club, or it's like a restaurant or bar that just started doing comedy. And then you're right in front of your table. You're on stage, and somebody comes up and goes, "You guys want appetizers or what?" And I'm like,
"Dude, LOL in Times Square, the waiters will walk across the stage to get to the
nice.
Other side." Yeah,
one of is there a chance them. they can have a daiquiri? You know, going like right when you're going to hit a punchline, they can be making a frozen drink.
The place I started out at, the Laugh House in Philly, they had like an old timey receipt printing machine that had like the papers on the side that you had to rip off. That fucking thing would run for 15 minutes. It would have to print 400 checks because they were black and they all get separate checks. And they would have to print a check for every person in there for the entire headliner set. They actually put out a CD of a Kevin Hart set, and it's mostly receipts.
Nice.
Sounds like the bar did well tonight.
Yeah.
That is just nuts. I mean, it's like one of those old printers that are like...
Exact same thing.
Matrix,
yeah, yeah.
Baby.
Woo. Wow.
You know, I've been in... I think the last time that happened, I think it was at the old Marco Island Off the Hook Comedy Club. They had like the blenders, like the bar. You know,
yeah.
Like when people order the mixed drinks, you're sitting there all of a sudden... They're like, really? Who the hell orders a Miami Vice? You know,
or also, how about a bar that's in the room and the fucking bartender thinks he's Tom Cruise in Cocktail and he's just overhead in that shit? Like, buddy, get a spoon and stir that thing.
By the way, when you said the old Isla Marotic, I mean the old Marco Island, there's nothing new on Marco Island. They stopped allowing anything into that town in 1974.
Even a newborn is actually a senior citizen.
Right. Yeah. Right. They don't have a natal ward in their hospital, just geriatrics and bariatrics. You're either fat or dead or both.
That was crazy to get out there because it would take you 90 minutes to get there from where I live, and then it'd take you 45 minutes to drive 30 miles an hour through a condo community.
Yep.
Unbelievable. But that room starting again, and they had the original location, and
of course. They do.
Yeah, no. Well, the original when we were there, they had a temporary spot. They rented from another restaurant that closed down.
Right. I'm talking about Marco Island. Of course.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So we're starting that again. So that's going to be awesome. Richie, the last time and first time I met you was at Tavolino's.
Dude. The weirdest week, right?
Yeah. Which was like March was like the week of March 11th, 12th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, COVID was out. People are starting to go, what is this? What's going on? And then, you know, and we did a show at Tavolino's where the owner and his friend and two or three of his friends, so there's four people in the audience.
Were the only people in the audience. Right. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was brutal. And our...
It was fun, though. They were actually fun.
Yeah. And the opener... You know, I won't mention his name because it's kind of funny. I'm going to rip on him a little bit. But my feature comedian, I actually came from, I think I did a gig in Marco or in Bonita Springs. He mentioned me at his, and I remember I drove there after. And then our middle, after he gets off stage, goes and starts selling his merch to the four ladies.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's right.
Yeah, like, dude, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Right? There was only four people sitting in the audience, those four ladies at the bar. That was your audience. And the minute he walked
up,
stage,
their shirts.
Yeah. And you listen, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say anything, but when I expect somebody to know better, you know, if it's somebody that's, I pull them, hey, man, you know, but I know the guy, I said, dude, what are you doing? You know, it's not like there's 100 people in here and you're talking to these three ladies at the, you know.
Well, I mean, that move sucks if the place is packed. Yeah, but to his credit, he's only been in the game since the 70s. So
exactly, yeah.
You know.
Well, no, but he knew COVID was coming and he needed every dollar.
And no doubt.
We didn't know about the PUA yet. So
then we actually did my new room, which is probably going to start in Hallandale at the Blue Bar Grill, which is actually a pretty cool location on the beach in Hallandale.
Yeah,
and, beautiful. Yeah, I remember we had like 10 or 15 people, right?
Yeah, I mean, considering that... You know, the shutdown was happening everywhere else. It was actually, it was surprising how many people were out. Right. But, and then it got even, that whole week got even weirder for me because that was Wednesday, Thursday. And then I did Miami Comedy Inn Friday, Saturday, and it was packed.
Yeah.
And it was like, I recorded an album that weekend, if you remember. Yeah. And the whole audience thought it was a hoax. Like all of them.
You mean the virus?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
Across the board. Like I mentioned it, they're all like,
pfft. Yeah. I'm not sneezing.
Yeah. That was nuts, man.
Well, yeah. Well, it's been a long way. I have, I mentioned those people who follow me know I'm out of quarantine. I got my antibody test. I have antibodies. Yeah. So I'm going on my antibody tour. I'm going to be hitting the loony bins in Wichita next week and the week after in Tulsa on my antibody tour.
Nice. So,
yeah, if there's any comics out there recently came off COVID and have antibodies and want to go on tour for at least 3 or 4 months until we lose our immunity, let me know. We'll put a little tour together and we'll do it. But that's cool. All right. So now.
I was in Australia, by the way.
Oh, really?
I was literally on a cruise ship that before I even took off, they had already changed the itinerary because French Polynesia wasn't allowing any flights in, and I was supposed to meet the ship in Noumea. So before I even left the U.S. March 6th, we knew that things were changing. So I flew from from LAX to New Zealand, and I met the ship in New Zealand, and I did a week on the ship where we had to basically do 3 stops in New Zealand and 1 in Australia because nobody else down there was letting anybody. We were supposed to do all of this French Polynesian islands, and that all got screwed.
So they wouldn't let the boat dock there. They wouldn't.
Nope. And it was a 6-week tour. I was booked for 6 weeks at big money all over that part of the world. And then I disembark in Sydney on my last live show is Friday the 13th of March on the ship. Mm. And right before I go on stage, they're like, don't mention COVID at all in your act. Don't mention, even though it's like the NBA stopped, the World Health Organization. So here's what happened is that I got off the ship Saturday morning, the 14th in Sydney. And I had a couple of people we were keeping in touch with.
Right.
What they were saying was that everybody 70 and older had to find a physician in Sydney, get a clearance to get back on the ship. And within 12 hours of that decision, they basically said, cruise is over, find your way home. Wow. And there's a lot of old people that are wealthy that live on ships and go ship to ship. So they actually, the QE2 was next to us, and I was excited to get to see the QE2. Well, P.S., all of the QE2 and all of my ship, which was a large Royal Caribbean, were told, like, on Saturday morning the 14th, you're off, you're not coming back, find your way home. Even if you live on this ship, you're going to have to go stay with your kids or something. So I had this weird, tense weekend in Sydney, Australia, where I didn't know if I was going to end up having to wait this out in Sydney. I was the last flight that left. Wow. I went Sydney to Brisbane, Brisbane to LAX. There were no direct flights. Virgin was shutting down. And my flight, every single seat was full of basically Western Europeans and Americans, you know, obviously LAX, wow, that were just trying to figure out, like, what now? Like, we've been booted out of our home. Our cruise was canceled, wow, you know, last minute. And this older, very nervous gal was next to me in a middle seat. And she's so sweet. She's like, do you mind if I wipe your tray and your stuff down for you? I'm like, lady, you can spray me. She was so nervous because she was okay, but her husband was very elderly and clearly not in great shape, kind of frail. That woman did everything but shampoo my hair with antibacterial. But I was like, it's okay. I get it. You're nervous. I don't care. Wow, do what you need to do to feel good.
Too bad. That's the last chopper out of Saigon.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, no, for real.
It was the last flight.
Sorry, Doug. Yeah, no, they called me. I was not sleeping well because I didn't know what was happening. And at 4 a.m., the guy from downstairs knocked on my door and said, Royal Caribbean's on the phone. They want to talk to you.
Oh,
and they basically said, here's your itinerary. Like, they didn't email it. They're like, these are the numbers. It's paid for. Go to the airport right now.
Get the hell out.
There was a festival. It was like a music festival in, I want to say it was Guyana, and it was like a primitive people's celebration music festival, and it's all these like rich Europeans and Aussies and stuff that are there, and it was supposed to be 5 days, and it was that weekend of COVID hitting, of like, you know, March 13th. It was still going like April 10th. And it was because they wouldn't let them leave, like the government wouldn't let them leave that area. They had it
roadblocked.
Yeah. And the and they showed this video of the dude whose festival it was. Like, you're all welcome to stay. We're gonna cooperate. And you know, we're just gonna use the same rates for your rooms per day, you know, just going forward, and there's no free food. Like, this dude like tried to stick it to him for music festival rates just for perpetuity.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
That wasn't gonna happen.
That's just cruel. Well, it's nice, you know, Richie, we're talking about our shows with four or five people, and here's Monique on the QE.
No.
Next
Royal
to.
Caribbean.
Okay.
I wasn't on the QE. I was next to the QE, but it was nice.
By the way, speaking of big boats, you recently had a procedure which you didn't mind sharing with us. That's a good transition, by the way.
Man, you are slippery as sushi eel. with the sauce. Many years ago, I got Ben and Jerry, as I like to call them, my twin towers of Teflon. And I was a bigger girl. I worked out. I still work out, but I was like bodybuilder, 25 pounds heavier than I am.
How much were you squatting? How much could you squat?
120.
What were you benching?
It depends. But you remember I do the booby shake. You've seen me. I can't do it now post-surgery, but you've seen me do the booby shake.
I can't forget it.
Thank you. I was in, you know, but it was a different thing.
Right.
So years later, I'm running now. I'm doing, like, I'm not doing that. I'm an older gal. I'm shifting. And so although for 30 years, I've had zero problems with them, people say that you've got to change, you know, you got to change out the tires, that they're not forever, that every 15 to 20 years, you got to switch out the tires.
Look at Richie, like, you know, what I was going to talk about.
Since I can't travel.
I didn't think it was even that long. I thought it was like 10 to 15.
Like a mattress.
Yeah, mine were in for 30. So here's the thing, Dougie. I posted on Facebook, because it's all isolated, him pulling the ruptured silicone gel out of me. People were freaking out. But I wanted to let women know, even if you're asymptomatic, no problems, no pain, you really can't keep these in forever.
So they were ruptured?
Absolutely. But it's inevitable. If they're in for X amount of time, the skin on them just wears against your body. It wears. So it's really nasty 49-second video that I posted on Facebook to let people, and on Insta. I wanted women to see. I wanted to bring awareness. It's gruesome. And I switched out, and I say, I went from double D, like a double scoop Ben and Jerry's, to now I have sprinkles. So I have a couple of very nice cupcakes.
Wow, that's nice.
And they fit me better, and I feel better. And once I realize even just having that gel out of me, I just feel better.
Wow. So,
and you're good until 2050.
Yeah, no, I'm in good shape.
You were rocking 1990s, girl?
I was rocking 1990 Shambolskis. And now, pretty much from my collarbone to my belly button, I look 17 and frisky. So I'm pretty excited. I've been joking with my friend saying I'm trying to figure out how to invest all the money from the wet T-shirt contest I'm going to win.
No doubt.
Those were some very old boobs, though. That's wild that you were like, New Kids on the Block were hot when they went in.
Yeah.
Look, dude, when those boobs went in, I Want to Be Rich was being played as, you know, that was a new song. Like when those boobs, I was an open micer. I've had two husbands, two live-ins, and four dogs on those boobs.
Yeah, girl. They paid for themselves.
I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Dougie, if I could, I haven't pointed out to you that this modification I've made on myself yet, which is once I started cutting my own hair.
Yeah, look at that.
Seeing that, brother? Come on, man. I was straight-laced as they come last time you saw me. Got my own mullet in a bald spot now.
Hey, you look like you should be in a pickup truck and at a rebel flag.
Yeah. I'm really getting in touch with my inner Florida.
You're cutting your hair? Is that what you're saying? You're.
Oh yeah, I did that myself.
Have you started finger banging a cousin yet?
No, but I'm in quarantine. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, there goes the Disney sponsor.
Yeah. I did almost make out with the cousin one time at a wedding, and then I found out that she was my cousin.
Isn't a lot of people's first real like experience like that at a wedding? Like,
damn near make out?
Well, you know, making out, or you mess around with somebody in the family, like somebody who was there, like, you know, each other. Like, I remember people would get married and friends, family and friends would come from New York. And there was this one particular friend, Christine, who we always involved in.
And, you know, finger bang.
I lost your audio for a second.
I think that was good for both of us, because I lost it too, and I think we were being protected. I think it was one of those things that would have changed our opinion of Dougie.
Brad, can these guys hear me, Brad?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
And long story short, she fingered me. What?
Somebody.
And the moral of the story is keep your pinky nail short.
Let's see.
But yeah, I found out it was my deaf second cousin.
You guys carry the show for me.
I thought she was just like really drunk, but turns out she was deaf and my cousin.
Well, and let's be honest, as a comedian, doesn't deaf kind of almost work?
Oh yeah, for sure. but also I thought she was super interested in what I was saying, but she was actually reading my lips. So we dodged a bullet that day.
Yeah.
Come on, Dougie.
Now she can read your hair.
See those Adidas lines right there? Come on.
Come on. Wow.
Yeah, pretty psyched about it.
Oh boy.
I can hear you perfectly.
Now you guys hear me, right?
Yeah, perfectly.
All right.
The millions of listeners are going to be upset.
We only didn't hear the part about how you got your third cousin pregnant. That's the only thing we missed.
It was something with a bike seat, but never mind. but, you know, anyway, I don't know what you guys said, but that was it. You know, the New Year's Eve parties when you're a guy, when you're a kid, you know, people bring their daughters over, you know. But weddings were great when you were young.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you've downsized. Congratulations. It's kind of like the wife and I are thinking we want to get rid of our house. We're thinking about selling our house and moving from this area, you know, from a 4-bedroom, 4-bath. That's like going from a double D cup down to a C.
Yeah.
You know, we want to find maybe like a 3-bedroom, 3-bath. So, you know.
Cozy. Condo. Condo titties.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, Monique. You can start calling them condo titties.
Yep. And just to finish out your story. I'm gonna just add my own. I once made out with the son of a guy that with the son of a girl woman that my dad was dating at a funeral.
Nice.
We snuck away from the wake to get drunk and make out.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
That's pretty low rent.
I started dating my. I think I started dating my brother. Oldest brother married this woman whose daughter I was making out with. Like, you know, we weren't relatives, but
no blood. There's no blood.
Yeah. Well, there was the first time. Anyway. So thank you. Just Richie got it, you know, he caught it. By the way, this is the part of the show where we basically say, we have to talk about it. There's things just happening that we have to talk about. Now, you know, I don't want anybody to expose their cunt. You know, we don't want to get political here. God forbid.
Don't expose your cunt. Did you say that?
Yes. Is my mic going again? But these are basically things that, you know, are going on and, you know, and we have to talk about it. Like the first thing is Kanye West running for president in 2020.
Well, first of all, we know he's already funded because he got money from the relief funds. We found that story out yesterday. So that's kind of like a nice little seed money for his campaign.
What do you mean? I missed that story.
Oh, it was a very, very big story. It was that the feds finally released the list of small businesses that got money. And Kanye got between $2 and $3 million and Chloe for her denim company.
Yeah.
And it lists how many jobs were saved. Like she got like $1.7 million and it saved 57 jobs, allegedly, supposedly. And Kanye got between $2 and $3 million and it saved like allegedly 149 jobs at Yeezy, which, you know, like those two need money like Katie Lang needs an EPT. She's a lesbian through menopause.
Yeah, and there was a big country club that just spent like millions of dollars on a wine wall, and they got and they get like a couple hundred million dollars from the government, and
not 200 million.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And and not to mention the $1.2 billion that went to dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I mean, none of that even scratches the surface of the possibly $4 trillion that Mnuchin has been able to just like put out the back door of the Fed. But, you know, I mean, it's the dead people thing was a good distraction. Yeah. But I'm friends with a guy who does marketing research for a really big law firm in New York City. And they identified as the next hot sector for them to help defend companies being these companies that are receiving these federal funds. It right. comes with this like grenade pin on it that if anybody at the company that like a whistleblower clause, basically that right. if anybody reports malfeasance, there's going to be a full investigation by the government. So any employee that has any kind of bone to pick with their employer that received these funds can nuke the company.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting with all that. I mean, somebody asked me if, I don't know if it's true, whatever he is doing, but it would be his way of trying to pull votes from Biden. You know, it's clear if he, you know, he wants to get people to not vote for Biden by doing, you know, if it's real, that would be it. I mean, he's a Trump guy. He loves Trump. So he wants
to. He hasn't filed anything.
Yeah. And it's too late for him to reach a lot of different, you know.
Well, also the Trump visit thing, it kind of got like brushed under of like, you know, because everybody was like on his shit so much for like pandering to Trump and that bizarre, you know, hydrogen plane thing that he was doing in the office. The next day, Trump signed a bill saying that that artists needed to get paid for their digital music within like it was like a net 30 or something like that.
Right.
And that was right after Kanye had left Tidal saying that Jay-Z owed him an insane amount of money and Jay-Z saying that it had to be audited and all that stuff. So say what you will about him dancing in front of the cameras with Trump. The next day he made like $100 million.
That was one hell of a pole dance.
Yeah, trust me, Kanye's crazy like a fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's crazy like a fox. He's no dummy. By the way, speaking of no dummy, is Kim still in law school or did that end with COVID?
I want to see her pull it off.
Really? You're talking
her
about
top or her JD?
Exactly. Her dress. What are you talking about? First of all, she was thinking, she's under the impression. First, the worst thing I've ever seen when it came to the Kardashians was they were on the Celebrity Family Feud. And Kanye was on there and the girls and, you know, all the Kardashians.
When was this?
This, you got to pull it up on YouTube, but it was so bad because they were so horrible and they were cheating. Like, you know, like
it sounds like an SNL sketch.
Oh, it should have been because. All right, they lost. So this is interesting. So they lost and they were cheating. You know how like a Family Feud, you're not supposed to sit there. If you're next in line, you're not supposed to go, hey, yeah. this, you know, right, you're right, supposed right. and they're like, you're cheating. And they ended up losing.
They're pretty loose on the celebrity events.
Yes. There's no referee or something like that. So I think Monique went to go check her boobs.
No. I'm actually, my camera, my phone is on low and I don't want there to be an issue while we're.
I'm waiting for somebody to come running through that door. Like, you know.
That's my front door.
You're going to break in and this is a raid. But yeah, so they lost. And now the Kardashians lost. So what they did was they won. Somehow they won. And they knew that they were going to be horrible. Like, they knew that there was no way they can get there and answer questions in 25 seconds. So they actually gave it up and let the other team play for their charity. It was just a big train wreck.
But I would like to see her pull it off though, just to prove that like you don't have to be that smart to be a lawyer. You just have, for any degree, you kind of just have to spend the time doing it.
Yeah, I disagree with you, my friend. I was supposed to go to NYU Law School. But I read contracts as a financial advisor. I read annuity contracts and trusts. And there's something about the difference between being a good lawyer and a lawyer is your interpretation of what you're reading and how to really manipulate and work the words. So what I will say is this, it's never good when you go to hire an attorney and you see that they do bankruptcy, immigration.
Yeah. Family, divorce. Yeah.
They don't really do anything.
Right. I didn't say I expected for Kim to be in front of the Supreme Court anytime soon. I just think that if she actually fucking buckled down and she would get every tutor possible, right?
She still won't know shit. I mean, you could, she would not.
You don't think she could fill her head for long enough?
I think she will never have. She'll never be in front of the bench. She'll probably be under the bench, but she would never be in front of the bench.
She'll be straddling the bench.
Yes, thank you. That's even better.
Slut shaming, and I won't stand for it.
Well, here, funny you should say that, Dougie, because long before the Lori Loughlin and that whole Felicity Huffman, I have a comedian friend, really smart girl, who was a waitress in a restaurant. Long story short, she worked at Eva Longoria's restaurant. Eva recommended her to do a private catering event with one of the Walmart heirs here in Beverly Hills, one of the younger heirs. And it turns out that woman had her degree revoked when they found out that she never went to class and paid someone to literally go to school for her. Wow. So long before all of this, one of the Walmart heirs had her degree, I think it was UCLA, revoked.
I didn't know they could actually, BS. Wow, I didn't know they could actually revoke a real degree.
Yep.
Once you got it.
Yep. If they prove that you didn't really get it, yes.
Yeah, I know they snatch away honorary doctorates as soon as the cups go on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Honorary doctor Mike Tyson?
Yes.
Legendary.
Speaking of the news, even Michelle Obama recently, there was some news that she didn't get her law degree or something from Harvard or wherever it was, but she had it was being said that, but she didn't. It was actually a honorary degree by speaking at a commencement. So yeah, you got to be careful with that and those types of things. Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, was arrested, and now everybody's wondering, ooh, shit, who's going to be busted?
I think that's the biggest story that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving for months.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Ghislaine, for sure.
But, you don't think, the real question is, will she make it? And
that's what everybody's saying. She's going to be tits up before you can say pedophile.
And I mean, you think she'll be, you think it'll be a suicide? You think you're going to have to make it look like a suicide? Well,
there's COVID now, man. She's no kid anymore. That cell is filled with bats and pangolins as we speak.
She walked in, some guy standing there with a handkerchief.
Yeah. Just coughing into the vent next to her.
Smoking with that aqua lung. People are talking about, because everybody.
How you tied that together, because Aqualung by Jethro Tull is about a pedophile.
Thank you for recognizing my brilliance. Thank you. Even though I had no idea I did it. But
I had
sitting on a park bench, eyeing little girls with bad intent is the opening line of Aqualung.
Yeah, great song.
But that riff is so hard.
Yeah.
I never paid attention to that. That's crazy.
And remember how he sang it? Bad and girls, bad intent. But here's the thing, people, what I found was amazing in social media, how everybody, they post a photo next to somebody and go, look, there he is. That's, as a comic, you take photos with everybody. Can you imagine, like, after a show, you're taking a photo with somebody, a meet and greet after the show, and it turns out they're the head of the Ku Klux Klan. And then, you're like, oh, I don't know the fucking guy. Well, you sat next to him, you took a photo, you must know him.
Right.
And everybody's doing this with her and Epstein. And stuff like that. But from my sources, it really is going to depend on who brought her in and who made the deal with her, because that's really what's happening. She was on the run. She ended up making a deal with somebody.
This is Illuminati shit. It goes all the way up. I read in one of the tabloids, which when there's smoke, there's fire, that the Queen is already saying that Randy Andy's on his own, that if he gets somehow implicated in this, the monarchy's taken a giant step back.
They already dispelled him. They already dispelled him months ago. when this all, he's like, yeah, you step down.
William Barr is going to do everything possible to keep her off the stand. That guy is the biggest protector of scumbags in the world.
Well, you and I disagree. I think the guy's, yeah, we got different.
Yeah. All right. Well, just look at the Epstein thing through this lens, that Epstein was brought into the world of money by becoming a teacher at the Dalton School, right, in New York City. And the principal of that school was a former OSS, which was the predecessor to the CIA, who also himself wrote a book about basically sex trafficking teenage girls in outer space in his latter years. That guy was Donald Barr, William Barr's father. He's the one that brought him into this whole fucking thing to start with. And then, you know, within like 2 years of that, he's inexplicably was a partner at Bear Stearns. But the guy that said there's no more need to look into any of these accomplices last year and tried to shut it down was the son of the guy who fucking started.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of connections there. But a lot of people say how they finally got rid of the New York Attorney General and then they arrested her was a sign that some of the barriers are broken down. It's interesting, and that's a whole nother show, and you know, we'll do it, but what's going on. But I think there's a lot of shit. This, and you know, Monique, you mentioned the Illuminati and stuff, because you know, people ask me about this, and people ask me how do you feel the Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. I go, it's all a distraction. You know, right now globalists are looking to peg the standard currency to a cryptocurrency from China. You know, they're looking to peg it. And if you thought your finances were low now, we go into that one system, you're all fucked. Unless you got billions of dollars. So
it's a done deal. Like, and it's not going to happen. Cause at the end of the day, I always say the mafia will save us because if they can't figure out how to skim, it ain't going to happen. So, you know, at the end, I mean, there's it's so timely. I'm watching Tremé, which is about post Katrina, same guy that did The Wire. And,
great job.
And at one point, one of the lead characters says, why don't we just let New Orleans be run by the mob again? They just did a good job. Let's just get rid of Nagin, bring the mob back. And I was thinking, you know, at the end of the day, having grown up in Miami in the 80s, my faith is that organized crime will never allow a system where they can't figure out how to skim and graft. So, you know, we're going to be at the mercy at some point of the mafia.
I do think no matter what you think, some people are going to be exposed. Like, I loved it when you watch all those Hollywood elites getting busted for, you know, for the college scams, you know, and things like that.
Loved it.
Yeah, that was
great. I want to see an interview with the guy that was taking the fucking SATs and could get a 1600. He could get whatever score they wanted him to get that they know that they needed from the amount of points that they had on other stuff.
But here's the funny thing. Right. And if that guy's that smart, you know what I always think about certain criminals? If you would have applied your intellect to doing something on the right side, you'd be like VP of Google.
And yeah, and he wasn't even making like stupid money. It was the guy that was the middleman that was pimping that dude out. And he had to fly all over the fucking country to look like a nerd taking SATs. Like, yeah, that was a shitty living.
I actually have some friends that did that to get into college. I even know one of my friends took the test for them. And once I saw the score, I'm like, shit, I should have had you take mine. What you get on the SAT, Richie? You remember?
1290.
Look at you, genius.
What, yeah, I think it was 14. It was out of a possible. Wait, it was 1400 back then, I think.
Yeah.
1290. Yeah.
I got like 920 or 950.
I cheated off a kid in front of me a little bit.
Well, it wasn't me. Did you take the LSAT, Monique? I mean,
I didn't take the LSAT. I took the SAT, and I'm here to tell you, because I'm way older than both of you, that I took it in 1981, and I scored an 1120.
Wow, that's still good.
Nice.
I mean,
here's the thing. I'm terrible at math. That's almost all on the strength of, you know, the cognizance literature. I'm not good at math.
Same. Well, yeah, I ended up bubbling in a bunch of questions. I didn't really apply myself until my junior year in college, which I did redeem myself because when I took my LSAT to get into law school, I got a 170, which was a pretty good score.
Thanks.
Yeah,
on the Ghislaine front, a very interesting thing about it is that they made Berman step down, like you said. Like, I mean, he the week before the arrest was made, they pushed Berman out of the way. But
that's a big deal.
Yeah, but the investigation was being led by SDNY Public Corruption Unit. It wasn't the Sex Crimes Unit. And public corruption deals with what it sounds like, with public officials that are involved in, you know, usually involved in pay-to-play type shit. So super interesting that's who really stayed on and made the arrest.
Well, I think it goes back to the untouchables. You know, if you can't get them for this, get them for tax evasion. Like, there's so many people that don't realize that, you know, people like to say that, you know, law enforcement is dumb or blah, blah, blah. And I'm always so joyful when I see, you know, them come in on the sideways and go, yeah, and now you get the bracelets. Like, deep in my heart, I'm still a very, most comics are iconoclastic or counterculture. I'm a rule following, slightly anal retentive nerd. So I like seeing bad people get arrested. I actually enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm a hero-y type guy. You know, I like to see, you know, what the fuck? Don't laugh at me being a hero, dude.
No, it's the way you said it, hero-y. It was cute. It was cute.
I'm gonna put on a cape. I'm gonna put a cape on right now and fly across my room.
Like, I totally love that. Even during COVID, there was some like cold case of kidnapped twins that was solved after 30 something. Like, I love stuff like that. Like, they never gave up till they caught these bastards.
Hell yeah! There. By the way, that's our word of the day: is perseverance. They persevered, and
I love that.
Did you like the word? Like, people. Like, here's the thing: like, you guys are all doing well in comedy. You guys experience that when you're successful, there's just those haters, those people around you that just dismiss your success. Right. Sure. I mean, you know, and, you know, I had somebody, I've been unfriending the shit out of people on Facebook, by the way. I mean, if people
I
are
threw just, a lot overboard.
Yeah. If I see, you know, political this, political that, you know, if you're like, to me, if I'm a comic, you know, if I have a certain view, I'll share something. Right. But that's not my job to report the news. You know, I'm a comic. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to say something funny about it, right? So if you're a so I just said unfriend. So there's this one local comic that I posted something and they attacked me. I think it was Pledge. Did you see the one I showed the Pledge? It was, you know, and there was a couple comics that commented on me about the Facebook part of it. Like, I don't even give a shit about the Facebook part. All I care about that this was the flag. This is the 4th of July. You know, the Pledge of Allegiance with now under God, you know, was written in there because it's not in it anymore or whatever. So I said, I thought I would just share it. And, oh, well, you this and you're that and you're this. And it was just so funny because the person said, you're on your high horse because you're so smart. And this is the same guy that was quoting. He put a statute about the flag. I go, dummy, if you can read law, if you knew how to read legalese, you know that 9 of the premises or the precedents within that law aren't even applying to this. So you just Google the shit out of nothing. And so he says, well, if I ever get on my high, you get off your high horse, I go, bitch, you wish you can get on a fucking high horse. Okay. Don't get mad at me. So, but persevere, you know, I had this conversation with you, Monique, and I had this conversation whenever I talk to people about business, I believe in continuity. You know, if you want to be a funny comic, you got to get on stage. You got to keep getting on stage.
100%.
You got to keep working. You got to keep writing. You got to keep doing. You got this machine. You got to keep it going. You can't just stop it and do it every once in a while. And you got to persevere. Shit's going to go wrong. Things are going to go bad. The difference between successful people and the not successful people, the people that persevere and
100%.
Don't, you know, you have a story where you think perseverance got you through?
Me personally, you talking to me?
Yeah. Both of you guys
talking to me. I've got a great story if he wants me to go first, but I don't want to, you know, I've been going first. Okay.
Go for it.
So here's the story. I'm in Miami. I'm open miking at Coconuts. I'm literally talking 29 years ago, because May 31st of this year was my 30th year in comedy. And thank you. So, you know, South Beach was just coming up and getting really hot in the early 90s. 90, 91 was when it was just, you know, the Marlin, and it was getting to be a very big deal. And so there was a club called Semper's. It was like a hot spot nightclub, but they didn't really get going till 11:30 because that's how South Beach was. So this little girl that was doing like a weekend room was going in and doing this club on Friday and Saturday nights. And I saw it in like the New Times, which is still there, you know, the New Times. And I was like, oh, I want to work that club. So I called, I left a message, you know, blah, blah, blah. She calls me and says, you know, 2 weeks from Friday, come at, you know, 10 o'clock. And at the time I was getting up at Coconuts. That was when there was Coconuts Comedy Club. So I'm like less than a year into the game, right? I'm super stoked that I'm going to South Beach. I get to South Beach. I've got a bunch of my friends driving over the causeway. We get to South Beach. And there's like this super bitchy gay doorman in a vintage smoking jacket named Raymond Haldeman. And he goes, there's no comedy. Oh, I don't care because I love him. It'd be different if I didn't love him. And Raymond goes, there's no comedy tonight. We kicked her out like last week. I'm like, well, nobody called me. And I have a bunch of friends that have come over and they've parked their cars and they've spent a lot of money. And, you know, well, there's no comedy, honey. I just told you. And it was July, it's the summer of 91. And I said, well, what's going on? He goes, nothing. There's like four queens getting drunk. I go, well, what would it cost you to plug in the mic and just let me talk? Right. And I had just started. And he goes, oh, all right, whatever.
You think you'd like to plug something in being narrow.
Right. So he plugs the mic in. My friends start to arrive because it takes them time. There's like, you know, now there's like five queens at the bar and I literally just go into like material, crowd work, lunacy. I dub them, you know, the South Beach Seven Dwarfs, you're cokey, blowy, sniffy, but you know, I give them like South Beach dwarf names and I just talk. And once he saw that I wasn't going to give up and that I was pretty funny, he went out on the sidewalk, free comedy show, half price drinks. Well, within 40 minutes, the room was packed and rocking. And I was just an open micer. But, you know, I'm going to tell you that Beatles 10,000 hours, I volunteered to be the house MC at Coconuts for free. And I worked every weekend, four shows, almost from the beginning of my career. So it goes back to that perseverance. So I'm working the room. I'm rocking. People are drinking and laughing. And the guy that actually ran the room showed up at 11:30 to a full room of happy people. And he said, oh, what's your name? I said, Monique. He said, come back next week. You're going to be our regular Friday and Saturday show. And that was that. I got my first big South Beach gig because I would not go away.
That's it.
That's awesome. Yeah,
you know, because there's a lot of people that would just walked away and they would have just went back on Facebook and go, that guy's an asshole.
There's no Facebook in 1990. I would have gone. I would have gotten nothing. I would have gotten.
I'm just floating in time, you know what
I mean? Right. But that's my point. I would have just had to suck it up, and I wasn't having it.
Exactly.
I wasn't having it.
How about you, Richie? Where have you persevered?
Well, a quick third-party antidote. In my previous life, I was a coxswain, a little guy that steers rowing boats.
No way. And that's cool.
And a guy on my boat in college was his name's Garrett Miller. He was he broke his own world record like four or five times, right?
Nice.
And he had broken the college world record, and then he wanted to break the senior world record, you know, the open. And he goes to our coach. He's like, "Yeah, coach, I just want to, you know, I got the college one, but I want to break the open world record. What do you think I should do?" And he goes, I don't know, Garrett, how about whatever we do at practice, just get on the machine for an extra hour every day. He goes, I already do that. I said, well, do 2 hours. He's like, okay. And he did it. He spent two extra hours on top of an Ivy League rowing program on the erg every day, the rowing machine. It's an absolute torture device. And then he crushed it. And he won lots of world championships and stuff. But so that's his story. Mine was that I feel like it what's great about your story, Monique, is that you were like, there's a fiasco involved when you're in over your head because you're like yet less than a year in, right?
So, right.
So I was in this fiasco because I had let this guy stay with me for a couple weeks, who I was like maybe 8-9 months in, and he was a writer for Fresh Prince. He was like on the first fucking season of Def Jam, all this stuff that as a novice comic, you think these are bona fides, but I kind of realized pretty quickly this guy was in fact homeless.
What and year was this?
2005.
Okay.
And this dude's eating my food. He's drinking my booze. He's smoking my dope. He's not giving me any fucking money, right? It's like I finally was like, "Hey, man, you know, you're gonna have to get out of here." And it was also at the same time, it was like the next weekend, my girlfriend was coming back, and she didn't want him there anyway. But also, I just learned that my unemployment was running out, and he starts to scramble, and he's like, "I got you a gig." And you're going to be, he's like, "I'm going to host this thing. And then you're going to be the comedian. You're going in between Memphis Bleek and Joe Budden." It became known as the Free Beanie Siegel concert. It was July, and it was an outdoor amphitheater with like 5,000 people. And he brought me out after Memphis Bleek just killed it. It's 100 degrees. It's disgusting, right? And he brings me out by saying, "It's like, we got a comedian for you. He just graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. He might as well have just said, 'Here's Whitey.'" Yeah. Right? But right before I go out, the promoter pulls me aside. He's like, "Yo, I don't know how they do it at your white boy shows, but around here, if you don't do all your time, you don't get all your money. I want 10 minutes. Right? So he hits me with the "Here's Whitey." I go out. Before I said a word, before I grabbed the mic, I was getting booed by 5,000 people. just getting crushed by these boos. And I knew I had to do 10 minutes. So it was like $500 or something, which was five times as much as I'd made in that, you know, whatever amount of time it was. And I needed this for my rent. So I just took this horrendous 10-minute bomb to the face, just getting booed the entire time.
Drubbing.
Just stood my ground for the full 10 minutes so that this guy would have to pay me. And I tell this story to a comic named Toure, who we're a great comic, Toure Gordon. And we're on tour 6-7 years later in Korea. And I told him that story. He's dying laughing at it. We get home. He's like, "Yo, you're not going to believe this. That venue, the same venue, is looking for a comic this weekend. You want to come even the score?" Like, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. And it was a way tamer crowd, but knowing what I'm doing this time, I went out and it went really well. And the promoter producer gave me his card. And I emailed this guy about every 4 months. Whenever I wanted to like commit comedy suicide, I would like shake that tree and be like, "Hey man, you know, if you got any shows, I would love to do something else with you." And 3 years later, I get a call from that guy. "Hey, you want to open up for Cat Williams tomorrow in Philly?"
Nice.
"Yes. Yes, I do." Yeah. And
you got that was,
yeah. Well, and that went really well. But I also I did great, but I was like, fuck, Cat wasn't here. He didn't see me. And as I'm leaving like the dark area to go back into the dressing room, out of the shadows steps a dude in a fur hat, fur coat, purple suit, gold shades. Like, "Young man, absolutely stupendous." And
you're like a Rich Little today, dude. You're doing all these voices, man.
Am I? And I wound up doing 150 shows straight with Cat.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
And because there's a lot of people that would say, "I'm not going back." Like, I'm going to be real quick because we're going to get to our joke right contest, guys, by the way, before we go. I did the same thing. I did the Mobile, Alabama, the Stardom. And it was a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is the free nights. And the MC went out and just did all, he did great because he did Sinbad. He was doing Chris Rock jokes.
Yeah.
You know, he was crushing. And then I come out and I just eat a big old dick. And then, you know, I get, of course, the manager calls me the next day. He's like, "Boy, that was brutal, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." But like you said, perseverance, I got a call from Comedy Zone saying, "Hey, you know, you want to go do that on Sunday?" My first, I was like, "I ain't going back to that fucking place." But then, of course, I said, no, I mean, that was the warrior spirit. I said, no, I got to go back. I got to change this. And we did. So we persevered. All right. Let's cue it, by the way. My buddy, Brad, if you're ready, let's cue. It's time for the joke, right?
It's a joke, right?
We're back, by the way. It's a joke, right? By the way, if you guys, you could think about the jokes real quick because you didn't do your homework. But
I'm ready. Whatever.
This is where comics compete for top prizes of an array of truly worthless shit. But more importantly, to have the honor to say they won something. All guests will be challenged to write a funny joke or funniest jokes inspired by these headlines. This week's prize is a lifetime supply of defective condoms and a $2 gift certificate from Radio Shack. Now, let's have the stories.
Aren't they one in the same, kind of the condom and the Radio Shack? Like,
you know, for you told us about your boobs, and I changed that. I was actually going to say a lifetime supply of used condoms, but I figured I'd clean it up for you.
Thank you. No need.
Yes. Well, here's our first story, by the way. I'll read the headline, and if you guys have a joke, we'll go ahead and but our first story is giant waves spreads into the ocean during a photo shoot.
And we can't actually
let him go first.
Well, my whole riff was dependent on being able to see it. Because seeing it was really the fun thing. And Dougie, can I be the first to say thank you for sending me links from UPI.com that insist that you whitelist their site in order to see it. That's always convenient.
You can click no thanks, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of that, but yeah, but hey, I got to deal with them. So, you know, I get they're sponsors. I'll read the story a little bit here. July 2nd, yeah. A wedding photo shot on California beach ended in a near disaster. Not that the marriage wasn't already. And when the newlyweds were swept from a large rock by a giant wave, a witness captured the video scene near the Montage Hotel in Laguna Beach, where the couple dressed in their wedding garb and were hit by a giant wave and swept into the water.
I have a number of thoughts on it. First off being, did they get the picture? Because then it's worth it as long as they got the picture. But I feel like it's like the Instagram versus reality thing, but it's like Hollywood versus real life. Like, this is what would have happened if the movie Overboard was true. And two people just jumped off of boats to try to get to each other. Like, you're just getting fucking destroyed. Yeah, there's no actual punchline jokes there.
Well, here's my take.
Yeah.
Which is very dark. Having been divorced 3 times, had it swept them out to sea and they died hand in hand, then it's, you know, they never knew the realities of marriage. Like, they died at that perfect happy moment in their best outfits with the best of intentions of saving each other, but in fact drowning. And because I've been divorced 3 times, I know how fast it can go. And I thought, you know, the dark comedy for me was, you know, damn, they lived. They were just swept away, but they got out and they lived, as opposed to what a great story if they were swept out to sea together hand in hand, sort of like a Gen Z version of The Notebook. Like, we tried to get the perfect shot for Insta, but we died hand in hand in our best clothes.
Yeah, it was kind of the perfect microcosm of 2020.
Yeah.
We were married.
So we were hilarious, but we covered it, Rich.
Yes, yeah. We were married on July 1st, 2020, and we died and were divorced on January 1st, 2020.
What race do you think that couple was? It was hard to tell.
Oh, I saw the picture. They were a special kind of white.
Yeah.
They were all the way white. I wasn't sure because of the.
Oh no! They were Jamba Juice Whole Foods white.
Yeah, I mean, word? You got to get this photo on the beach. Yeah, that's a white thing. It's definitely a white thing. You know, I just thought it was funny because although they did have a California wedding, they had a Viking suicide or a Viking funeral, I should say. Try to make comedy simple. Our next story: boys magnet fishing in Finland Lake. They've ever gone? I don't know if anybody's ever gone magnet fishing. But boys magnet fishing in Finland Lake find rusty hand grenade. I'll read the story. On July 2nd, two boys magnet fishing in southern Finland Lake reeled in something entirely unexpected, a rusty old hand grenade.
My question is, if you're magnet fishing, are you really thinking that you're going to catch any kind of fish? Because it's not like they even have fillings. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be different if the fish had a grill.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing magnetic in a fish. So by definition, you're just going to catch. I think that's the equivalent of old dudes that go to, like, Civil War sites with metal detectors.
Metal detector, walking around the beach with a metal detector, trying to find somebody. Oh, I hope somebody lost their engagement ring. Yeah. Yeah. And well, what else you can do in Finland? They got like three channels on the TV.
Yeah. Well, in Finland is kind of like the Alabama of Russia.
Is it?
Yeah.
That explains my friend Ishmo.
I know Ishmo. Yeah.
Yeah. We're very good friends.
The other sport other than magnet fishing that they're really famous for is their annual wife carrying competition.
Oh.
And for decades, you have to like pound a huge beer, like a liter of beer, run, pound another beer with your wife on your back the whole time. And then after decades, one wife was like, fuck this, we're going to redistribute this weight. And she went face down into his ass with her legs over his shoulders, and they destroyed everybody. So now everybody has to go face into ass if you even want to compete.
Like a running 69 position.
Exactly. Yeah.
And my question to you is, doesn't that kind of take us back to that first couple that got swept away at sea? Yeah. Like, isn't the second story a metaphor for the first story, kind of?
Yeah, oddly enough, after finding the rusty grenade, they found two couples that were linked together with an old bad wedding ring. Yeah. my thought was, boys magnet fishing in Finland Lake, find rusty hand grenade, went home later out and find out what a rusty trombone was.
Hey,
that's what I always tell my 12-year-old nephew. I told him to go to Sam Ash Music and find out how much a rusty trombone costs.
Did you say Sam Ass or Sam Ash?
I said Sam Ash. Look at your mind. Oh. You got the new boobs, and all of a sudden you can't get sex off your mind. another story, disoriented horses rescued more than a mile offshore. I'll read the story.
Oh, horse. I thought you said disoriented whores.
Well, those
much are better joke.
Totally different story, man. I got to sit this out now.
Well, that's your joke.
I thought you had ocean whores. Yeah.
What was that old Saturday Night Live skit when Gilda Radner would fuck it up, right? She would think it's something else.
Oh, Emily Latella. Yeah. Emily Latella would talk about the presidential erection.
God damn it.
That was Emily Latella, and she'd always end with, never mind.
Yeah, that was a great skit. A water rescue team in Ireland came to the assistance of a runaway horse that ran into the water at a beach and swam more than a mile out to sea.
Oh, that's a social distancing. He figured, if you're Irish, by definition, you're drunk and not wearing a mask, and I'm not letting you take this horse down.
Yeah, he's fucking Irish spit all the time when they talk. I don't want to be near him. I'm going to be out in the ocean.
Well, also just Irish hardheadedness of like, no, I'm just going to keep going this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong, goddammit. I'm going to find the fucking land somewhere.
Yeah, it's over here somewhere.
I'm a fucking seahorse, you asshole.
I'm liking the Irish accent. I'm liking it, Dougie.
You do it? Yeah. Fucking,
well done.
I love that. One of my favorite movies was Snatch. And, great movie. And then when and Brad Pitt was that. It's pack a gas, a pack a dirt. What did he fucking say?
You're a big fucker, aren't you?
Hey, he's a man of fucker. And our last story, which I don't know if we don't have the visual for it, but this is very interesting. Dutch ID cards in Dutch, that's Holland, right? I'm guess Dutch ID cards will soon omit gender, says the minister. Right? You think gender needs to be put on a? I don't think it needs to be put on a. Why should you have your gender on your? On your photo ID.
Well, I think back in the day, because even now when you catch a flight or you buy a ticket, they ask if you're going to fly in the U.S., you got to put your gender when you're buying your plane ticket. And I think it's you know, in the event that you get arrested, they know what prison cell to throw you in.
Yeah.
And B, because of security reasons, there's all kinds of lawsuits that pop up if the wrong cop looks up your anus. So they've got to know to have a girl cop for this and a boy cop for that. So I think a lot of gender has to do with CYA, no pun intended, moves. And I guess over there, they're like, we don't care who looks where or where they lock us up.
Yeah, officer.
It is all law and order with you.
Yeah, it is. She's pretty frightened of that. The officer Dropenkopf.
But think about it.
The officer Dropenkopf was like, this chick's got the biggest balls I've ever seen. I mean, why not? You know, any joke?
I think it has a lot to do with lawsuits. You have to know, because people do sue, you have to know, you know, that's when they say, like, you know, security check female on aisle 4, because, you know, people,
so what you're when they're saying checking is, that. So what you're saying is, if I want to get felt up, I should go on there and say I'm a woman.
Yeah.
If I get, and then I should do something really bad on the plane.
Yeah.
And like scream, Trump's going to win 2020. And they're going to throw me off the fucking plane. And then I'm going to get finger banged.
Totally.
By some chick. Yeah.
You'll get,
she is not going to be. Yeah. She might not be real hot though.
Yeah, she, exactly. She'd be like 650 pounds.
I was going to mention that the only thing that I've ever seen regarding Dutch IDs is that they considered a case in front of their superior court, I believe, that a guy a couple years ago was trying to legally change his date of birth.
Yeah.
Because he was getting job discrimination, and also he thought that his dating profile was getting looked over because of his age. Because you can't change that, you know, you can't lie about that. But
he did, like, you know, instead of feeling like a woman, you said, no, I feel like a 15-year-old boy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was identifying as. It's all about Rachel Dalzell. I identify.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who wants to legally change their age is every pedophile.
Yes.
If you just change your age to 12.
No, I'm I'm permanently 16 and a half.
Yeah. I think that, I think that rather than age, they need to just measure the distance that the balls have dropped, because being a woman of a certain age has seen my fair share of male parts. Those do continue to descend. It's like rings on a tree. You can look at a man's dangle factor and know that.
There's,
I don't
gotta
care
be
what you say, those are 43-year-olds.
There's got to be limited returns at some point. They don't just keep dropping them, do they?
Nope. There was a long stretch where I never saw a pair over 35. But I recently dated an age-appropriate man, and it was on.
Did you see? Like, did you see the way that she used stretched? You know,
she certainly did.
Verbiage, the choice of verbiage was just magnificent.
Thank you.
What are the oldest balls you've seen? The longest balls you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. I dated a very attractive, physically fit. Like, it was on. But when he dropped trow, I hadn't seen like a pair that was in my wheelhouse for a pretty long time. And I was like, wow.
Hey, what are you going golfing? What are you going golfing?
Is there a control study group of his balls? Like, is there a picture of his balls when he was
30 I never saw his balls young. I met him when they were already, you know, swinging like a Doberman pincher. But, you know, I've seen enough through the years that I can consistently tell you that there is, you know, it is a rings on a tree situation.
If you ever wrote a book, I would love to see like your facial expressions, because you know now, right? Like, Richie, we're guys. We know that when a guy drops his drawers, that's the first thing she's looking at. She's going to check out the balls.
Absolutely.
Give out.
How long,
because there's certain
balls,
things that don't lie. It's like with women, hands don't lie, because there's nothing that can fix hands. There's no surgery. So if a woman's got wrinkly, age-spotted hands, that means that no matter what she's done on her face, or she goes to the gym, or she watches what she eats, you're getting a hand jam from a cougar. It's just that you got to just fess up to it.
It's the
hand.
I thought you could actually fix hands by they shoot your own. Like, they spin your blood and they shoot it back into your hands or something.
It's a new thing now where they just started injecting fat. But because I knew that, I've been putting SPF 50 on my hands since I was young. I mean, I'm very pale for a Hispanic person because I never go in the sun. And I've worn SPF 50 since I was in my early 30s, late 20s.
But I still want to know how long these balls were. Could you see them from behind him?
Boy, Rich is
if
really
he bent over to pick up his bathrobe, absolutely, you were getting the full fruit bowl.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, Richie, how old are you, dude?
I'm 41, and I got to tell you, my balls are pretty high and tight.
No, they stay that way. They really start to let loose at about 47, 48 is when It's like the elastic in your underwear when you've just washed them too many times.
Yeah.
About 47, 48, they just say, screw it, we're loose. Well,
it's like a V-neck.
Yeah, starting tonight, I'm only going to use SPF 50 as lube. I'm going to keep them, baby.
My advice to you, it just makes sense. Support them. You know what I mean? Try not to go commando as much as you would like, because I think you got to fight gravity. It's like women going braless.
Listen, let me tell you something. Monique has seen a lot of balls, but I have my own, okay? And I will tell you, I'm 53, and there's that moment where, you know, when you get out of bed or you roll over in bed, when you get out of bed, you sit up, I'll sit on them. Like,
see?
You're there?
Yeah, dude, it has to be, you know, it doesn't happen like you wearing underwear and stuff, but, you know, you're laying in bed, you know, you're hot, you're kind of, you know, I don't know about you, but I get a little warm and when at night, you know?
A little sticky.
Yeah, a little sticky.
Hold on, and sit on your balls.
Yeah, like I'll you know, you know how you, like, you roll in bed, you know, when you get out of bed, you roll to your side, right? You go to your side.
No,
you know.
No.
How do you get out of bed? Do you bounce out like a fucking astronaut?
Yeah, Bruce Lee style. I just kip out of bed.
That'll all end in a few years.
Yeah. So walk me through this. You roll on your side, and then wait. So are you from your side? Do you lay on your balls? How long are these balls?
No, dude. Well, they're trying to keep up with my dick. So no, it happens. So I get up. You know what happened? I'll be on my, like, I'll get up. All right, I'll sit back. I'll lay. Time to get up. And then I'll roll to, you know, I kind of go on my side a little bit. And as I go on my side, then I'll roll to the side. And then I'll sit in the side of the bed. My legs go off the side. And when I do that motion, when the legs kick over and go off the side of the bed, then, you know, this happens. You know, the dinglies are down. And then they kind of sit under me. And then for that one second, I'm like, boy, I'm glad I don't have a firm mattress. And then, you know, and then they'll be down there. And then, yeah.
I believe they call that Belvedering.
Really?
Have you ever heard the Mr. Belvedere story?
No.
Yeah. So Jay Moore told this story on somebody's podcast and Adam Sandler heard it. It was like, oh yeah, remember when that story happened to me? Because you steal jokes. So Sandler, when he was a kid, he had like a bit part on Mr. Belvedere. And it was a big deal for him. And they're at the table read. And, you know, the most important guy always comes in last. So he's the star of the show. He's the last one in the room. And he's in like, he's a plump man in like a velour, like sweat, you know, full body velour sweatsuit. And he's like, oh, shit, Mr. Belvedere, this is fucking cool. And he sits down and just like howling in pain. And he fucking falls off his chair, and they had to like bring in the medics because Mr. Belvedere sat on his balls. Wow. And like, he like got wheeled out, and they canceled the table read for the day.
Well, there you go.
Sitting on your balls.
You Belvedere, Dougie. You Belvedered.
I Belvedere in the morning. I Belvedere, and then I.
That also sounds like a wildly unathletic move, how you get out of bed.
Yes, thank you. I'll share that with everybody.
It sounded like five steps.
Yeah, it is. It's almost like it's easier to launch a space shuttle than it is for me to get the fuck out of bed anymore. You know what I mean? there is. It's like, okay, I got to, you know, because I can't. I'm at that state where I lay on my side, my right arm will fall asleep, and then I got to roll to my other side, and then my left side seems to be better, and I got to put a pillow between my leg because I got to, you know, my back, and then, you know, and I got to fluff the pillow the right way, and then, you know. So then I, you know, when I get out of bed, I get Belvedered. What can I tell you? That's the way it is. Well, hey, you know what? That's kind of all we have the time for here today. I do want to say
that we're sticking the landing, you know, that we just are jumping off on your balls. Yeah. I like that.
Yes. I love it when people are jumping off on my balls. Now, I don't want to be, you know, again, people were worried about the flag and if I was this and that, but I'm going to give. As a financial guy, somebody said, I was listening a lot about, you know, racial relations and things like that. And I'm going to offer an idea for reparations. Okay. You know, the idea of reparations, whether you like it or not, as just as a financial person, I'm going to give an idea of reparations. And is that how it could be? People shouldn't get anything for free, right? You got to persevere and you got to earn it. That's one thing I'm about. But every Black American adult 18 and over will get $10,000 a year tax credit until the age of 67. So you'll get a tax credit. If a tax credit means if you make nothing, then you get that as a refund. You get a tax credit in a sense. And ages 17, under 17 and over will get $5,000 a year with a family limit of $20,000 a year. So you can't have 100 kids and collect fucking $300,000. And tax credits. So there are ways to do things that we can all make it. We can all be together. We can all be happy. And let's do that, right? Let's take our, let's wake up late. Let's make sure we got to get a nice sleep, get a good night's sleep, and don't get Belvedered in the morning like I do. And then you'll have a good day. I want to thank my guest today. I want to thank Monique Marvez for joining us today.
And thank you.
Richie Redding. And Richie, tell us about your album, which is out.
Yeah, it's called number one album of the year. It was actually number one on the charts for a couple days, and then it got smoked by a chick with 3 million followers and Louis C.K. and Carl Reiner. But it's very funny. It's the last show, like I said, before quarantine hit. It was March 14th at 10 p.m., and it's an hour of comedy that I'm really happy with. So number one album of the year, and all my social is at Richie Redding.
There you go.
Average Redding, very nice.
Monique, my dear, anything
you want to call? I have a HBO Max special that will be airing towards the end of the summer. And right now you can find, because of COVID, my Showtime special, Snoop Dogg Presents the Bad Girls, Latin Divas, and Not Skinny, Not Blonde, are all available on YouTube, free.
Very funny sets, by the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it. And by the way, the Antibody Comedy Tour starts next week. I'm going to be at the Looney Bin in Wichita Thursday through Saturday, and then Woo-hoo! The Looney Bin in Tulsa on Wednesday through Saturday. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates and follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You guys are wonderful, and you guys are the best.
I'll come visit you soon. We'll head down to Sam.
That's right. You guys are all welcome for spots on our Isla Mirada Grill show and some other venues we're going to be opening up soon. So pretty excited about it, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, or Wake Up Dougie, Wake Up with Dougie, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show Instagram. Shit, just Google it. Who the fuck can find it? You can find it. Just support us. We appreciate it. And join our fan page, because that's where you're probably watching us through. Thanks, guys. Good night. We'll see you next week, by the way, with two guests. Very funny folks. And it's right here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. See you guys next week. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. People of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.